all technical difficulties aside, we are now officially starting to record the last episode that we're going to do as the Midweek Howl or the From the Shadows podcast for the year 2022. Are you ready? Are you ready
to get? I guess. I don't know. We're going to try it. Let's just roll with it. I don't know. You know, the wheels could come off like so many things in my life. The wheels could come off at any minute.
The wheels could come. Oh, God. Well, speaking about the wheels coming off, before we even get started, I kind of told you on my way home when I called you and we were getting stuff. I didn't have an accident delivering the mail today. But somebody almost took me out while I was delivering the mail today. So I was sitting at a mailbox in this little—I don't know how to describe it. It's like a little subdivision, like a little rural subdivision on my city route. If that makes sense. Like, you know, there's a couple cross streets or a couple cross streets and turn around at the end or whatever. And so I was like next to last. Two mailboxes from getting out of it, and I'm at the mailbox, and I deliver the mail, and I'm looking down at my mail for the next place, and I'm inching forward, and it's not a high traffic area or anything, because it's one way in and one way out, and all of a sudden, boom, my mail truck, like I hit a tree, like it stunned me to the point.
So you obviously were not looking forward.
I was not looking forward. I was looking down.
Stop right here in case the person that you hit is a listener.
But I didn't hit him. I wasn't even moving. Like I was at the mailbox and
maybe it felt just, like you hit a tree was your last statement.
Well, I assumed it was me that hit something. And I looked up. Okay, Officer Howler. Nice try, though. But anyway, I looked up, and here, the house across the street from the box that I was delivering sits up in a little hill, and the lady, so the guy that lived there, he was well-known around town. He died, I don't know, 6 months ago, and the older lady is having some dementia, so her one daughter lives actually in this little subdivision. The other daughter, I think, lives down in Columbus or whatever. And she was up there, and I had seen her car up in the garage when I went through the first time. And I didn't have any mail for him because I deliver her mail up at the house now. Because the old lady...
Because that's there, just what kind of mailman you are. Just leave it at that.
True. But unfortunately, the older lady lived there would get in her car with dementia and drive down to the end of the driveway to get the mail. And they just didn't, the kids didn't want that happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I got some mailbox stories from,
yeah. So anyways, this lady, nice lady, one of the daughters, like I said, had backed out of the garage. And this driveway is probably 100 feet, if not 200 feet. I mean, it's a long driveway down a little incline. And had whipped it out on the road and never looked. And hit me head, like her rear bumper of her SUV hit the front bumper of my LOV, my mail truck. And I mean, it's like I hit a tree is what it felt like. But it was her hitting me. Here I thought.
Because she backed out and swung around.
She just, boom. And if I hadn't been there, she'd have hit that mailbox. That's how fast she was going. And she jumped out. I put it in park. And I'm like, whoa, like what the heck happened? She jumped out. She's like, oh, my God, where did you come from? And I go, I didn't come from anywhere. I was delivering mail. And, you know, she looked, and I'm like, ah, you didn't do anything to the bumper. I mean, those bumpers on those things. And she, like, was, up, you know, like, upset. I'm so sorry. She goes, why did you honk the horn at me? And I'm like, I wasn't even looking up. I wasn't ready to drive, you know. I was still looking down.
Here, she's putting it on you, and you were the one that was parked.
I know. And she goes, well, I was looking over at my sister. So she then said, as she was backing down the driveway, she was looking down the street to her left over at her sister's house at something and never even looked. And I'm thinking, man, if a car would have been coming from her right, she'd have hit it. If a kid had been on a bike, I mean, luckily, I guess lucky that she hit me instead of somebody else. I mean, if somebody would have been at that mailbox getting the mail, she'd have killed them for sure. But all's well that ends well. So there you go. So there's my holiday mailman story.
I can't decide if I'm going to attack her right here on the airwaves or if I'm just
she felt bad. I wouldn't attack her. Now if I wake up in the morning and I can't straighten my back out.
Too late. You missed your opportunity. That's what you get for being such a good guy.
Well, before we get in how our Christmases were, because I got a good Christmas present story. I got a message last night from our good buddy Chef Bichito from Seven Napkins in East Lyme, Connecticut.
Right.
He wanted me to pass along. Guess what his best-selling item is on his menu?
It's got to be the Howler or something.
It,
I don't know.
It is. It's the Ozark Howler sandwich.
I can't believe I didn't go see him last year when I was up there. It just, that's my fault. You didn't fill me in. I might make a special trip just for him now.
We have a couple things going on this summer. Maybe we'll get up that way when the whole crew's together.
All right.
Maybe we'll get up there and try one of the sandwiches. And let me read the ingredients just to make everybody extra hungry. He said people are wanting him to offer this sandwich for breakfast. That's how good it is. Now, I'm not sure I could eat this for breakfast, but it's pulled pork, smoked Gouda mac and cheese, jalapeno, lettuce, tomato, an onion, and a wrap.
Now that... you're going to have to pause this so I can go to the bathroom right now just listening to it. No. They brought the dog in here. Hear her flapping her ears? She's in here wanting. She could smell it through the mic.
She wants an Ozark Howler sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That Gouda mac and cheese sounds pretty good to me.
I don't know. That's kind of.
Say it's kind of frou-frou. I mean, you're a world traveler.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean. And there's like a million kinds of cheese, and not all of them are good. You know, I think they called it Gouda, so people, foreigners that got over there, said, "Oh, that's Italian, or that's French for good." Just get them to say it. You know what I mean? That's.
Well, then what? Then what's the origin story of Limburger? That kind of sounds as bad as it probably tastes. Yes,
I don't. You know, maybe that's the cheese that's supposed to fly over the ocean and never come back. No, that would be what was her name? Earhart. But the point. I don't know.
Okay. How many people got that? The Lindbergh.
Don't tell me Lindbergh. You didn't get it. Yes.
I like what you did there.
I tell you, it's your nose is supposed to be, you know, I really got into this. I made a few hams and I really was going to try to make some sausage. Anyway, as I read some of these things, they always revert back to the professionals, always revert back to your nose knows the difference. So naturally, it is supposed to, when it is turned off by something, you're not supposed to fight through it. You're supposed to get away from it.
Really?
Mm hmm.
Okay. All right. So yep. My grandpa was, you know, the old German farmer, old Grandpa Hunsberger. Man, he loved Limburger cheese. Loved it.
But you see, now, hold on a second. There's a difference between somebody, if you were born before
1920?
No, let's just say 55. I'll give it, you know, because depending on where you're at, you know, you probably, yeah, the 1920 people, Your taste buds were coated with nicotine. So how could you really, if you could do that Lucky Strike with no filter or that Camel, my grandma smoked Camels with no filter. She told me from the time she was like 14, she was born in 1919. So what would that have been, about 35? Let's just say since from 1935 to 2005, she smoked Camels with no filter. And you tell me a little piece of cheese is going to turn her off? Didn't matter.
Well, my grandpa was like me. I don't think he ever smoked a day in his life, and I don't think he ever had a drink of alcohol either. My grandpa's burger. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he ever did. But man, he loved Limburger. And I think I've told this on here before. He used to get up every morning, and he swore by this, and he would gargle salt water. And I don't mean like he filled up a water and put some salt in it. He would have my aunt and uncles would go to on vacation, and they'd fill up gallon jugs from the ocean. I kid you not. And he'd have gallon jugs of water from the ocean, and every morning he would take a little swig and gargle with salt water straight out of the ocean.
And how long did he keep this water at his house then?
He had, as long as it stayed in jugs. I mean, he
did it when wouldn't I was it kid. Turn bad? Wouldn't it get moldy over time or something?
I don't know. Ocean would ocean water turn moldy?
I don't know nothing about it.
I mean, I don't know.
Ocean water in the ocean that looked pretty skanky. I can't imagine being hauled back to Ohio in a milk jug or something.
Yeah, he used to do. I have to ask my one uncle that's still alive. But
where did he drive? Where did he get what part of the ocean did he get it out of?
It had to be either the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, what I'm saying is he did drive out. You get
oh, water, my grandpa never
water
went.
In New Jersey was different than the water in.
Yeah, it's probably from around Florida. Yeah, I wouldn't drink water in New Jersey.
Especially in the 50s or whenever he was there, you know.
I mean, my experience with it was the 70s. So the 70s, I mean, God, you couldn't even have got water out of a river in Cleveland, in Cuyahoga. It was on fire back then.
So, is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple stories about that. Now, it's not as bad as they made it out. I mean, well, it was pretty bad. It's pretty polluted. I think just recently within maybe the last 5 years, they have decreed it's okay to actually eat the fish out of the Cuyahoga up there that you catch. Like, it took a long time. But the factories up there just dumped it, right? Well, hey, look, I heard a story on one of my favorite podcasts, Ohio Mysteries. And they were talking about this African-American inventor who had come up with a gas mask, one of the first gas masks. You know, it was before then people were rushing into, you know, they wouldn't even go in to try to save somebody in a fire because they were going to die.
Right.
And this guy had been a janitor at a big factory up in Cleveland, at a sewing machine factory. And God, this must have been the 20s. And he developed this like mask that had these hoses that hung down because he figured out that the good air stayed at the ground. Okay. So he developed these masks, and then to sell them, he had to hire a white guy to act as if he was the guy who invented it. And then he acted as the assistant when they went and demonstrated them. Okay.
Isn't that true?
Yes, it is absolutely true. And so so they said up there in Cleveland, they were, now get this, this is the 20s, the factories had polluted the water so bad in Lake Erie that they were digging a tunnel 5 miles out under Lake Erie so they could run a pipe from that far out. That's how far before they felt that the drinking water was safe. And as they did it, the miners hit a pocket of natural gas, and there was an explosion. So, of course, nobody would go into, well, they sent some rescuers in, and they all, like, they didn't come back. So they figured they must have succumbed to whatever, you know, fumes or something. So they went and got this guy and his brother, and they gathered up all the gas masks they had, but none of the firemen or anybody would go. So these two guys went in and found some people that were still alive, drug them out, and only then, when they risked their own lives with these gas masks, did some of the other rescuers decide they went in. So they went in and they actually pulled out 8 or 9 people that were still alive, and I think only 2 or 3 of them actually survived then. But the kicker was, is that the mayor then, because the mayor kind of said, you know, good luck with that gas mask, you know, poo-pooing that it would work. Well, the mayor then and these other guys that went in after these two brothers, no pun intended, after these two brothers went in and pulled people up, he and these other rescuers got all the credit in the newspaper for rescuing everybody, okay? They would not give these African-American guys any credit for rescuing anybody. But they did run a story that he, like the New York Times or somebody, did run a story about how he actually invented that gas mask. And so all the fire stations and emergency places down south that had bought gas masks off of him because they thought the white guy was the guy who invented it, canceled their orders. And they had 40-some thousand orders for these gas masks. And all the ones down south canceled their orders because they figured out that he had, you know, quote unquote, pulled a fast one on them by not admitting he was the one. And they couldn't, there was no way they were going to buy a gas mask off an African-American guy.
Because it's Jim Crow type stuff.
Yeah. And then he's also the guy that came up with the yellow light that everybody used, that the traffic light. Because he was so wealthy back then because he got fired from the sewing machine place because he married a Romanian woman. And that was, you know, just crazy. So they fired both of them. They started their own sewing machine repair.
Crazy factory. Because she was white or because she was Romanian?
Well,
we had a lot of immigrants at the time, right? Surely she wasn't the only Romanian walking down the street, right?
Well, they didn't say that she was white. They considered her white because she was Romanian. I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Because Romanian, is that where the Romas are from, the gypsies?
Sounds about right, yeah. So anyway, they were so well, they were wealthy. They ended up starting their own place because they got fired, and they at one point employed like 30, 40 people. And he was one of the few people in Cleveland at that time who had a car. And he witnessed a car hit a girl on a wagon and almost kill her. So he came up with the idea of, you know, the lights just changed red to green and everybody took. So he came up with the yellow light and ended up patenting that idea and sold it to GE back then. So it was kind of crazy. It was great. It was a great story about American ingenuity. How about that?
Well, I'm telling you,
but that's back to the water being bad. Can you imagine going 5 miles out into Lake Erie to get water that was good to drink? I mean, and there was a time in the 70s, no water in Lake Erie was good to look good to drink.
Well, I know it was bad enough they had to get an Italian guy to play an Indian to get people to quit. To quit polluting, right?
Oh, that's right. The Indian guy that was standing there with and they'd throw trash at him.
With a tear. With a tear in his eye. Yeah, because he was well, who is he? What was he?
Yeah, I forget what it was about pollution. But why would you get an Italian guy to play a Native American? There's plenty of Native American actors that could have played.
Well, yeah, you're thinking about nowadays there are Iron Eyes Cody.
Iron Eyes Cody. No. Back then
Oscar de Corte.
You could have got the big chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I don't think he was Indian either.
You don't think he was Indian? Native American? Come on. Really? I don't know. We're going to look it up. So how was...
I don't even know. You've got me so discombobulated between the Jim Crow era not buying gas masks from the... Well, I'm not even going to go where I'm going to go. Go ahead and ask me where...
Well, Will Sampson was chief... The deaf chief brought Bromden. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Well, he's been in a lot of stuff. Surely he's a real Indian.
I would think so. He was
outlaw Josie Wales, and
yeah, he was from the most Muskegee Creek Nation.
Uh huh.
So how was Christmas? Did you get any good presents? Did you give any good presents?
I don't remember.
It's
been so long ago.
It's like 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you get over 50. It just flies.
So I don't. How much did I tell you about Christy, about the night I went and picked up Christy's Christmas present?
Well, you told me there was between the Ring camera and something else, you set the burglar alarm off and the cops came.
So
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I'll back it up a little bit. So last year I had her college basketball jersey framed for her. She didn't know where it was. I found it and I had it framed for her. Cause I think some of that stuff, you know, that's kind of an impressive deal that, you know, if you play college sports or whatever, I mean, that's kind of a cool deal. And what's good does it do in a tote? Okay. So believe it or not, I get on the treadmill about 3-4 times a week. And in our basement, I looked over and I see this tote and it's got all of her batons from her track days in high school. And, you know, she's along with some of her teammates in the County Hall of Fame here they were three time state champions as a team in track. And she, I think, won 5 state championships and was placed 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and like 3 other events. So she had a pretty good high school track career and was pretty fast. So anyways, these batons, they gave them, you know, from the races because, you know, they were state champions and stuff, and they've kept them, you know, and they're written on like when they were. It's a shame they're in this box. So anyway, the same guy that did the jersey, I had him come up with a shadow box to display these batons. So she could put them up in her office and people could see them, you know, and it'll be something 30, 40 years from now when we kick the can that somebody will have to decide, Izzy will have to decide what she's going to do. But anyway, so we have this ring cam, we have a ring camera on our front porch.
Right.
Okay. So you can't really, like, if you leave or do or something, you know, it alerts you on your phone. So this thing was done in the next, you know, 10 minutes away, next town over. And Christy and Izzy go, or, you know, at the horse, you know, doing something with the horse. But I can't leave. I didn't tell her I was leaving to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't leave. And I wasn't going to lie to her about where I was going or anything. So the next day, I had her mom go pick this thing up because it's pretty good size or whatever. And I needed to get it and keep it hidden. Really, I need to get it and get it wrapped is what I need to do. So the next day, it was last Thursday, they just all, Christy and her mom and them, they had a meeting at 4 o'clock in town. So her mom had went and picked it up, had it at her house, called me and said, hey. Now you got to remember, we live on the same piece of property, but you got to drive halfway around the block.
That's because some of your listeners don't realize what true land barrens look like. I mean, your place is probably bigger than Prince Harry and Meghan's, but I don't want to say that, right? No. Ohio royalty.
No, that'd be my parents. That's not her parents. Her parents, okay, but they own a nice piece of property. But
we know how Amish people all live together. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So anyway, so her mom goes, hey, I'll leave it in the kitchen I go, okay, it'll be perfect. I'll get off work about the time you guys are coming into town. I'm about to pick it up, get it home, wrapped. Okay. I go, but Lee, turn your burglar alarm off. She's like, okay, all right, I'll turn it off. So I, you know, everything's working out fine. I drive, and they live back a long lane. I drive back there. I go in the house, and all of a sudden I hear this, you know, this like this buzzer going off. And I'm like, wow, is the burglar alarm on? And I don't have the code for it. But I'm thinking, some like our burglar alarm, if you walk back in, you have like a little bit of time to get back out. And it won't, you know what I'm saying? It won't mm-hmm. completely go off. So I grab this big case and pull the door shut and go out. And I put it in the car. So now, got to remember, when I pull back into our driveway, she's in this meeting. I'm hoping she's not looking at her phone because the ring's going to go off. But I got to back up to the house so I can get this thing out of my car.
So you can unload it. Yep.
With that, without her seeing it. Okay. And so I back up. I get it out. I get it in our house, set it on the kitchen. And as I go back out to move my car, Christy starts calling me. And I'm like, what the heck? She's in, supposed to be in this meeting. And so then I don't answer.
Okay,
don't answer. She's texting me. She goes, you got to answer. So I call, answer then when she calls back and she goes, hey, she goes, a burglar alarm went off at mom and dad's. Can you go over? The sheriff's on their way out.
Did you say, yeah, I'm almost there now?
And I'm, well, no, how would I have known? So I wouldn't have known.
That means just I was in the neighborhood. You just, that's kind of, yeah. I could be there.
Well, she knows I'm home, though, because she knows the ring went off and she sees me get out, but she didn't see, but she was preoccupied because the sheriff was, you know, they got the alert from the burglar alarm. So she didn't see me carry the thing in. But now I got to put this thing somewhere in the house where if I don't get back home and get it wrapped, she doesn't come home in the meantime and see it. So I take it downstairs, I put it in our back room, kind of, and I drive over to the farm, and I'm like, oh my God, this is I don't have time for this. So I call my buddy, who's the major, sheriff's department, and I said, dude, are you working? He's like, no, because I'm off. He goes, what's going on? So I tell him, and he's laughing his butt off. He's like, oh man. He goes, well, they'll be out there soon, I'm sure. But I don't really have time to wait. I got to get back home and wrap this thing up. So I called the dispatcher and I explained to her what's going on. And she starts laughing. She's laughing.
You mean because like, you didn't want to be right there wrapping it up when the cops rolled in there?
Well, no, I had already taken it back over to our house.
Yeah, well, so just drive off, let the alarm go. The cops go rattle the door, say nobody's here, and leave.
But they had already told them I would meet them there because that's they had already told him I would meet him over there. So I'm like, she goes, well, I'll let the deputy know, he's on his way. So I get in, I'm pulling out their long driveway, and here comes the deputy. So the deputy is pulled in the drive, and you know, and of course I'm in my male uniform, so that kind of makes them think that I'm not gonna, you know, be robbing a house or and it's this young kid. And he just dies laughing. He goes, dude, you better get home and get that wrapped. Well, I get back in my car and Christy's calling me. They're done with the meeting. So now I'm not going to be able to get it wrapped. But I'm thinking, well, she's got some stuff to do in town. But I call her back and she goes, well, I got to come home. Izzy took my bank card out of my purse. I got to come home and get my bank card. Now I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How am I going to keep this hidden from her? So then her mom calls and she goes, Shane, I forgot something. Okay. Yeah. I guess you did. You forgot something. So their mom, of course, left and on the burglar alarm and forgot. So anyway, I rush back home. I make sure the thing's covered up. I keep Christy from going down to the basement and she gets the bank card, leaves to go get gas or whatever she was doing. I got it wrapped, and she had no idea what it was.
Sounds like to me you should have just done it 2 or 3 weeks sooner, and you wouldn't be crunched sneaking around so much.
I think I told you I felt like that Brady Bunch episode with Peter when he had two dates on Halloween.
You told me that, but I don't, you know, I'm not a big we went through that whole thing. I'm not a big Brady Buncher because we had chores to do. We couldn't watch TV.
You didn't come home and
we couldn't. We had chores to do.
Oh gosh,
there's always rocks to pick up or something, wood to cut, horses to break. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have any Christmas.
No, my mom would. She'd get home. She'd feel the back of the TV. If it was warm, we'd get a whipping.
So no Brady Bunch in Gilligan's Island for you.
Nope. I've heard of people that had TV during childhood. I just don't know them. On the weekends, we got to watch
Hee Haw and Lawrence Welk.
And Dukes of Hazzard, maybe. That's right, Lawrence Welk. I love Lawrence Welk. And Wild Kingdom.
Thursday night was Wild Kingdom. Friday night was Dukes of Hazzard.
Uh-huh.
I used to go from Wild Kingdom to Magnum P.I. on Thursday night.
Yes. Yes, and then Simon and Simon after that is what it was. Right? I tried, yes. You know, I've been watching a little Magnum on Pluto, and it's okay. It's not near as good. There's some of that stuff I just watch. Well, Miami Vice. I tried to watch Miami Vice the other day, and I was like, dude, can you believe? Of course, I guess I was only about 13, right? 14 watching.
Oh, yeah.
I watch it now, and it's like, are you kidding me?
And Glenn Frey, he was in there for a little
bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So nothing exciting happened around your household then for Christmas, huh?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Dead air.
Yeah. Dead air. No, I said nothing happened exciting for Christmas there.
You know, I saw Violent Night at the movie theater.
Ooh, is that the one with the Harbor guy from Stranger Things?
Yes. Only because I didn't know who he was, so I looked him up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't watch Stranger Things, huh?
No, I don't watch it yet.
I figured that would be something that your wife would be into.
My daughter watches it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep.
After the whole Yellowstone debacle that we had.
I watched about 3 minutes of Yellowstone last night. Season 4, when Rip throws the rattlesnake on the guy. That's been my favorite. It's been my favorite thing so far in the first 3.5 seasons or whatever. He's got the rattlesnake in the cooler, throws on the guy.
Oh, God. Yep. Oh, God. That's fantastic. Would that be your move? Throwing a rattlesnake on the guy?
No. I don't even know. I don't even think like that. I don't even think like that.
You don't even think like that. What are you talking about? What?
I don't think like that. You know, when I saw him in the river like that, you know, you think you pick up a, you know, knock him in the head with a rock and let him drown, and they'll think he just slipped and hit his head on a rock. Or I just don't think like that anymore. I've tried to change that. You know what I mean?
You're trying to love animals.
Yes. I've moved out in here to woods to live by myself because I escaped that life with all my fingers and toes, and I'd just soon not go back. You know what I mean?
Well, it does. I mean, I remember as a kid, the first time I shot anything with a BB gun, it was a bird. And I was like, man, I don't really care for this. I mean, what's the point of killing a bird? Bird didn't do anything.
I'm not talking about killing birds. I'm talking about killing people. I tried to shoot half a dozen crows the other day in my backyard. That's my favorite pastime, is shooting crows.
I was trying to, you know, get all, you know, emotional about a traumatic childhood experience.
No, I'm talking about killing people, dude. No, I try not to think like that anymore. Yellowstone, they kill all kinds of people on that show, don't they?
You know what the theory, coming up is that Rip's going to end up killing Jamie.
Why not?
It seems like it's heading down that road, doesn't it?
Well, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of going on disability, we were supposed to record last night, and so we got home. So Christy and I had some run around to do, and it's one of those nights where she's like, I'm not cooking. And so we stopped at the local grocery store because she had to get coffee or whatever. And she got some, she goes, how about I get some, they got some really good fried chicken. I'm like, all right. So she gets this fried chicken, they put it in this bag, you know, it's a heater bag or whatever. And she put it in the microwave, and we had stuff to do. And I went down there because I was going to get on with you. And so I take the bag out of the microwave, and I forget what I did, but I went to pick it up, and the bottom fell out. Okay. So the bottom of the bag, because of the grease of the chicken,
softened up or whatever?
Softened up. So a couple pieces of chicken fell on the floor with a bunch of the skin, you know. Mm-hmm. So I pack up the chicken, you know, 3-second rule, and I'm cleaning up the skin, and I'm down there, and I go to take a step, and my foot slips in that chicken grease, and I caught the corner of my ankle on the dishwasher, and it almost put me down, and I'm like,
oh my God, how greasy was this chicken if you slipped on it?
I don't know.
You have to get some oil dry or cat litter to put on there to soften it up or soak it up or what the heck?
Oh, so mad. I was like, I'm not going out with a broken ankle on the corner of a dishwasher from some chicken grease.
I told you I had a buddy of mine accidentally shoot himself over some hamburger grease.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, so, you know, you don't know what, right? I mean, they call them accidents, not on purposes. So, stuff happens.
You know, maybe in the spirit of going into the new year and people be cooking for New Year's Eve, maybe you should share the shooting himself with the hamburger.
I had this buddy of mine, he had a Ruger revolver, and I can't say his name on the podcast. Some of my people actually listen. Like my dad knows exactly. My dad's known this guy since he was a little kid. You know what I mean? So because he hung around with us kids. You know, he was in my big brother's class. So you know how you just know people. So you know how parents know kids that their kid goes to school with, right? So anyhow, I'd love to say his name because if I tell the story around here in my hometown. I tell the story because it adds, you know, it's like when you talk about a movie versus talking about a Bronson movie, right? The term Bronson brings it. So when I talk about Bruce and then I say his last name, it carries weight in my town, right? So anyway, he was watching TV and I forgot what he was watching. He had a Ruger GP100, little 3-inch 357 blue revolver. And he'd unload it and dry fire to screen and then load it back up. And that's when usually accidents like this happen. People, they load and unload it. They load, unload it to play with it and practice dry firing, you know, which is pulling the trigger with nothing in it. And then they load it back up because the booger man might come and get them. So, and then they lose track of what happens. They lose track of whether it's loaded or unloaded and shoot the TV, right? Because they usually point it at some dude on TV. So, He decided he's going to start cooking some hamburgers, and he made some hamburger patties, put the burgers down. I don't know if he started cooking, but he made hamburger patties and went and sat back down and started playing with his gun. He realized that he did not wash his hands between making the burger patties and sitting back down. He realized that he didn't unload the gun. So he was riding the hammer back with his thumb because that hamburger grease his thumb was, and that's his words, not mine. Okay. His thumb slipped off that hammer and
boom!
It went off. And he said he didn't even feel it. It was 158 grain jacketed soft point, American Eagle Federal. if you're a gun person. He said he actually looked on the side of the Lazy Boy to see if the bullet came out, and that's when he seen all the blood and realized that he had shot himself right through his femur.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that.
Oh,
so,
ow!
Don't.
Right through his femur.
Yeah, because he was down, and he was sitting in the Lazy Boy with his pistol in his lap. Kind of. And the only reason why he's here to talk about it today is another dude, William, who was a Navy corpsman, no kidding, Navy corpsman, who was home. They were in the same class. Who was home on leave and over at his house messing around, was able to stop the bleeding and, of course, call 911. Back in them old days, you just dial 911 from a home phone, and that, you know what I mean? And it worked a lot easier than cell phones or whatever. So, and they had to put a plate on because it blew his femur completely apart. It'd take about 4.5 inches and try to graft it out of there. Put plates on both sides and rods. And, you know, I don't. You mentioned the term disability. I don't think he ever worked a day since. He was in his early 20s. I don't think he ever worked a day after that.
Well, that makes me glad I'm not a gun person, because slipping in that chicken grease, I could.
Mm-hmm.
I could. Oh, my God. That just hurts thinking about that.
He rides Harley Davidson and yeah, and he just hangs out, and he'll tell you that story, and it's all about, you know.
Well, grease is something you don't mess around with, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was thinking, what did they say, cleanliness is next to godliness? I guess because if you're dirty, you're one slip away from death, heaven or hell.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, we better sign off to 2022.
Yeah.
And you, what's,
wash your hands. Hey, wash hygiene. Your hands. Wash your hands, kids. Make sure those pistols are unloaded when you're playing, when you're shooting TV.
make sure.
Public service announcement from the Howler in 2022. Wash your hands, and situational awareness on the weapons.
Stay out of the grease.
Stay out of the grease. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. God only knows what time.